Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. And I can say this again, there is a Bible under your chair if you want one, or pick up your tablet, your iPhone, your device, whatever you have, and point, tap, swipe, whatever you need to do. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And hear now God's help for us today. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed to praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for the judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And this is God's word, his instruction, his encouragement for us today. Let me pray. And God, this is your word. It is timeless, it is ageless, and it still speaks to us. So may we hear from you now and put into practice what you teach us through the reality of your Spirit and the power of your word, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I didn't sign up for this. Have you ever said that or heard that phrase used? A lot of times people use it when they're in a bad relationship, things are going wrong, or in a bad business relationship, or life is just hard. I didn't sign up for this. And Peter's giving us some instruction here about what happens when you feel that way that in that chapter of your life. And I want to say, honestly, I've come into the text today in a far different place than I was a few weeks ago. We've been working on 1 Peter chapter 1, and here's our building block. So we've been going through the summary of the letter, our words for today, and people are waiting to see if I can do this. Ha. Really? But be ready. John Piper, the pastor, tried to summarize 1 Peter in one sentence, and he said this: in God's omnipotent care for you as chosen, newborn, forgiven, and cherished, spirit-empowered people of God, so be fully satisfied in God's promised grace and glory that you live lives that are marked by blessing your adversaries, and by overflowing with good deeds, with the aim of that unbelievers might be won over and enjoy the glory of God forever. Now, that's a mouthful. So I want to summarize 1 Peter this way in this chapter today, basically by saying, you've got this. You've got this. And it's the whole theme that's been coming through 1 Peter over and over again, that because God has me, and if you're a follower of Christ, because God has me, you and I can live in such countercultural ways. We can do so with confidence. And as we live with confidence, get others to join with us in following Christ. And as I started this, so I usually try to work a few weeks ahead in my sermons. As I started looking at this a few weeks ago, I came up on verse 12 again, the first verse of this. Peter's words, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon to test you. And if you've been with us for any period of time throughout 1 Peter, you know that Peter's been talking a lot to a church that was being tested, that was being suffering. And when Peter says to them, the fiery ordeal, this was a real thing that was happening. This was not some sort of poetic language. They were going through real hard trials where Christians were being set on fire, they were being persecuted, they were being imprisoned. This was tough stuff for them. This was real life stuff that Peter's talking to them about. And that's why my original title for this was Earthquakes, Fires, and Floods, Oh My. Because sometimes we feel like that in our own lives, that ordeals, trials, pressures come upon us one after another, we just can't keep up with them. And too often we live in a world of feeling so oppressed and thinking we are oppressed as Christ followers, and we want to just sort of sometimes just wallow in that persecution, that oppression, and saying, oh, woe is me, I'm following Jesus, look at how much I'm suffering for my faith. And I kept working through this, it didn't quite feel right. And I came to this verse again, verse 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And again, I said, great. I'm blessed, so I should be insulted? I mean, come on, God, I need a break here. And I read the verse again. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. And then here's the phrase. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And I said, that's it. That's it. See, we forget in the course of living differently and being different, you and I are different. We have been wired differently. God has remade us in Christ differently. And the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. And that's a wow statement, or it should be. And not a New England wow. Yeah, we're good. Hey, that's exciting. Yeah, it is, isn't it? No, that's a real-life, earth-shattering, clap your hands, stomp your feet, jump up and down. Wow! Because the truth is that this truth, this statement should shake us to our very core. It should give us hope and confidence, not to just live, but to just keep moving forward in life wherever God has put us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this about us. And sometimes, most of the times, you hear this verse preached about in terms of how we should be living holy, how we should be holy people, and that's all that's true. But hear this again. Do you not know that you are God's temple? Now, stop right there. You are God's temple, and God's spirit, again, dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, that's you and me, and you are that temple. Do you hear the identity God has given you right now again? That the spirit of glory, the spirit of God, lives and rests and abides and dwells in each and every single follower of Jesus Christ. We're more than just followers, but you and I are actual places of residence where God is living. How often do we think of our lives that way? That you and I are actual residences where God has taken up his home. You know, we talked about the incarnation. You know, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And the Word became flesh, Jesus himself. God, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, comes down being incarnate, living, and literally says, pitching his tent to dwell among us. And Peter here is reminding us that God has actually pitched his tent. He has chosen to live inside each and every one of us. That in you and me is the very presence of the living God of creation who has taken up residence within you. So this morning I want to just talk for a little bit again about the spirit of the glory and of God that is inside of you and me right now. And Peter's hearkening back again to his Jewish roots in the Old Testament, where the Israelites were led in the desert. The temple was the image of the residing place of God, where God could be encountered, his spirit could be encountered, where God could be experienced. And when you encounter God, your lives would realign and reach it and be changed. Solomon, when he built his temple, one of the wonders of the world, took over 6 years, 20 stories tall at the greatest place. It was meant to be a symbol to the world to say, the living God of all creation is here with his people. And it was a word of encouragement to say, every time you look at the temple, you know that God was there. And that's the context of suffering that Peter gives to his people and to us today. That no matter how hard your circumstances and my circumstance might be, what is living inside of you and me is greater than any circumstances you are fighting, that you are facing, that you're about to face. 1 John chapter 4, John says this, little children, that's us, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Again, here it is again, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Does that do anything for you? Because it should. It reminds me of how often I do not live in the reality of that truth. And it's a strong reminder Peter's giving them and us that when earthquakes and fire and floods come, you can stand strong. Facing that doctor's appointment, facing that job, facing that family, facing that marriage, facing that community, you can stand strong because the living presence of the living God is with you at that moment, as he is every day. See, the Spirit of God's glory means that God is with me. And that should shake us and just rattle us to our very core. It should cause us to fall on our face every day and give thanks to God and live and walk in confidence in the places where God calls us to be every day. Without fear, without hesitation. God's with me. The image in the Old Testament again. God releasing his people, Israel, out of Egypt, bringing them through the desert. And we're told in Scripture again that the glory of God, the Spirit of God, through the fire and the cloud, led Israel, led his people all those years in the wilderness. The glory of God dwelt on Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called out to Moses, and out of the midst of the cloud, and the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like the devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And when Moses did, he would talk and encounter God face to face, just like you can today, because God lives within you. His Spirit lives within us. That glory cloud was a visible symbol that God was in the house. To speak, to act, to change, to mold, to lead, to guide, to correct. It was a reminder of his presence and his power and his purpose to his people. Now, one of the fundamental non-negotiables of our faith as followers of Jesus is that we say we're Trinitarians. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, all parts of God in unity, working together. And yet so often we live as functional duitarians. And I have no idea if it's a real word. I just made it up. But we say, man, I know God the Father in heaven. I know God the Son, Jesus on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit, I'm not quite sure what this is, but it's hanging around over here someplace. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit of power and glory, rests and lives and abides in every single one of those people who follow Christ. And you and I no longer need to go to the tent to find God. God has found us. He is living with us. He is with us. He is walking with us each and every day. And because that's true, you and I can stand firm again in the middle of any situation you are facing or about to face. Book of Acts, Stephen, first martyr for Christ. Stephen being stoned. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing in the right hand of God. Look, I see heaven open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In the middle of being stoned, Stephen sees the glory and the Spirit of God with him, waiting for him. See, the Spirit of God's glory lets me see Jesus in the middle of the hard times of my life. The cloud of glory in the Old Testament again. God's saying, I know you're wandering for 40 years. It was disobedience, but I haven't left you. I know you're wandering for 40 years and it's hard, but I'm still here. I know you're wandering for 40 years and you're wondering, but I'm still feeding you. I'm still here. Even when you mess up, even when you disobey, God is still here. Daniel chapter 3, the story of the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to bow down to the king to worship the king. The king throws them in a furnace. They say, stoke the fire up so hot. And the fire is so hot in the furnace that even the guards are burnt and killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are put inside. And scripture says this, that in the middle of that fire, while they were there, one like the Son of God appears with them. In the middle of that fire, that trial that you may be facing right now, that thought, that depression, whatever, in the middle of it, in the midst of it, God shows up because his Spirit is with you. in the midst of my lostness, the glory of God can shine in me and through me. Spirit of God's glory also means that I'm being changed by God. When I encounter God, I have to be changed. And if you haven't been changed, then you have to ask the question whether I have really encountered God. Whenever people in Scripture encounter God, there's a change that happens in their life. Moses again. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, two tablets of the testimony in his hands. He came down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. But Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and they beheld him, and the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. See, Moses' encounter with the Spirit of God changed him, and the change was noticeable to every person who saw him. You've been with God. You've been God. I see it in your face. I see it in you. You've been with God. See, in the middle of our suffering again, God is changing us to look more like Christ every day. Not at the end, but in the middle. James says this, consider it pure joy. Who does that? Unless the Spirit of God is with you. Consider it pure joy that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Because the Spirit of God lives within you. There's no one I know who likes hard times. There's no one I know who likes going through trials. There's no one I know who says, hey, this is great. I wish something worse would happen to me tomorrow. This is great. Bring it on. But see, God uses those times to change us to be like Christ. And he does that because the Spirit of God lives within us in those times. And he changes us. And not just for my benefit, but for the benefit of others around me as well. See, we are enabled and we become confident as God changes us in our trials to help others as God has helped us. The Spirit of God's glory also means that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the old question, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do in life right now if you knew you could not fail, would not fail? God says, my Spirit's with you. I've empowered you to succeed. I've empowered you to thrive. I've empowered you to grow. I'm living with you right now, so that's possible. Paul, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will all the more boast gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weakness. Who says that? The person who knows they're living with the Spirit of God within them. I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities, because I know when I am weak, I am strong. And the only way you can say that is because you know the Spirit of God is living within you, changing you to be like Christ, empowering you to live like Christ. It's only the follower of Jesus who thinks of their weakness as a strength. Because God uses those weaknesses to show his strength through us, to show us how strong we really can be and should be. And again, not just for my sake, for the sake of others. We live in a culture that says, you know, hide your weaknesses. Don't show your weaknesses. Real men don't cry. But God says, man, in your weakness, that's when you're going to see me. In your weakness and humility, that's when others will see me as well. Because that's when my power shines the best. The Spirit of God's glory also means that we find rest, to find relief and renewal and refreshment. Jesus in Matthew says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, because I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, when Jesus comes to us in the middle of our struggles, he gives rest and renewal and relief. I met a pastor this past week, Ron Moore. And Ron is a local New Hampshire pastor. You've seen him on the New Hampshire news sometimes. He is an extreme weather chaser. He's one of these guys that go out there and drives through the tornadoes, drives through the hurricanes, because he loves science. He loves the science of the weather and the power of God, you know, and all this. And he loves this stuff. And he was talking about, you know, being in the last, you know, hurricane, you know, chaser that he was a part of last year. And he said, he made this comment, which I thought was so great. He said, you know, it was really great because when we're doing this, you know, on the news, you see all these relief agencies that come in after, you know, after the devastation. You see the buildings destroyed, and they're all there giving food and water and help and doing all the things that are necessary, and that's great. But we're there in the middle of the disaster, offering comfort and prayer and all that we can in God's name. See, God calls us to be extreme weather chasers so that we are in the middle of the storms of others' lives, just as he is in the middle of the storms of our life, to bring rest, renewal, comfort, and healing. God is already on the ground in your life before the disaster hits, to give you rest. Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17 is famous for Jesus when he says, Lord, I want them to be one as you and I, and one, I and them, and you and me, and we in complete unity, so the world may know that you have sent me. But this is the part of the prayer that gets overlooked. Jesus prays, the glory, God, that you have given me. And just think about that for a minute. Think about our image of Christ. Think about all that we know about Christ, say we know, we believe about Christ. And Jesus now says, God, Father, the glory you have given me, I now give to them, so they may be one, even as you and I are one. If that isn't comfort for your heart and for your life and your soul, then it can be for you. Go back to my original title. Earthquakes, fire, and floods will come, and they will come. They will come. They're going to come. But you've got it covered. And maybe your earthquake is tomorrow. Maybe it's today when you go back to your house. Maybe it's tomorrow, you know, Tuesday when you go to the work. Wherever that earthquake or fire or flood may be for you, God is already with you, and he is already there to give you everything you need to walk through that with confidence. And that is peace and rest and renewal for our souls. God's got you covered. His Spirit of glory is with you. May we live in that confidence. So to be ready, to be encouraged, and to be changed and at peace. Because the Spirit of glory and of God is with you and me right now. Be confident and walk with Christ today.